Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
To many sports fans, the National Basketball Association seems most at home here in the USA. But it is, in fact, a global brand that means both excellence and excitement for lovers of the game and riches and celebrity for its elite players. Now, with the March debut of its Basketball Africa League, or BAL, the NBA is endowing the African continent with some of its own glamour, prestige, and profitability. And with 12 teams slated to tip off competition in March, the push to man those teams is in high gear. VOA's Adam Phillips visited the inaugural BAL Combine last week in New York, where some top African basketball players showed off their skills to both BAL and NBA scouts.
Cold winter sunshine poured onto the gleaming wood courts at the Brooklyn Nets training center last week as 50 hand-picked African players hailing from 20 countries trained together and competed together in five-on-five scrums under the guidance of NBA coaches. Each player had already played at the highest levels in American colleges and universities, or internationally, or in NBA second-string G Leagues. It was also a big day for NBA Africa Basketball League president Amadou Gallo Fall, who organized the combine with a dual purpose, to fill out the 12 teams that will start the BAL inaugural season in March, and to entice NBA scouts looking to bolster their American teams.
We want to attract elite global talent, create a very compelling basketball product. Essentially, this is a recruiting initiative for our teams to come and evaluate talent and hopefully sign them to their roster.
During a brief, sweaty break between scrums, Nigeria-born UC Eregbu of Sacramento, California, said he dreams of an NBA career.
Yeah, that's always his dream. For any basketball player across the world, you want to be in the NBA, that's a goal. So it's a stepping stone to that.
Now, are these rivals or friends out there?
A lot of these guys are friends I've met along the years, traveling and stuff like that. But on the court, you had no friends. If you're not wearing the same jersey I'm wearing on the court, I don't know you. And I gotta go at you like I never met you before.
Nearby, Olelekan Ajayi, also Nigeria-born, sips some Gatorade and evaluates the competition. A three-time Student Athlete of the Year at Eastern Michigan University, where he was also class valedictorian, Ajayi has played in Spain, Mexico, Tunisia, and Angola. What are you here for, like, in the heart? Like, what does this day mean to you?
This is a great opportunity to get an invite from the NBA for this combine. And I understand that nothing comes easy. You know, nobody gives you anything in America or anywhere in the world. You know, you have to work hard and gain what you want. So that's why I've been successful so far.
I think some people, you know, think, well, if I come to this combine, I don't get into the NBA, like I'm toast. But it doesn't sound like that's the only thing. That's not the be-all and the end-all for you.
No, because not everybody's going to be picked. You know, I've done my job. And I let God take control. It's none of my control. What is my control is take care of business on the court. And I've done that. And then if this don't work out, I always have step one, step two, step three. You know? But I know this is going to happen because this is what I do.
Play ball, play ball.
But Ghana-born John Magnoplange, who directs the Basketball Africa League strategy and operations team for the NBA, reminded us that the BAL will be about elite club competition in its own right.
For me, just having this first combine sends a message to the basketball world that Africa, right, is a destination for top-level talent. So currently, if I'm a high-level basketball talent, Of course, I would want to play in the NBA. I want to try out for the G League. I may want to play in Europe. Africa is not even on my radar. And that's what the BAL is meant to do, is to say to these young men that if you're good, Africa should be a location and a destination for your talent. Gives you a chance to go back to the continent.
Indeed, for some contenders here, simply being chosen for the BAL would make them true winners. Obi Agget of South Sudan received his invitation to the combine only a week before it started.
I was excited because this is a big opportunity for me to collect back home. I played here for 4 years in college, and my family didn't watch one game because it's difficult for them to actually get here. But now, if I can make this league, I can go back home and play back home, and they can be able to come watch me. And that's a dream for me.
What's another dream you have?
I actually want to see this league in like 5 years to be all over the world, because there's a lot of kids in Africa that love basketball and look up to the NBA players.
Were you one of those kids yourself?
I was actually influenced by Lualdeng Munudwo from South Sudan.
The scouts at the NBA Combine were understandably mum with the media about who they want for their teams, either in the Basketball Africa League or its parent organization, the National Basketball League. However, one thing is sure. Come March, sports lovers in Africa and beyond will have some serious new action to watch on the court. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Adam Phillips reporting from New York.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net. Thank you, Dikembe Mutombo, for that public service announcement. And thanks to my VOA colleague, Adam Phillips, for that spicy Basketball Africa League feature. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Orlando Magic 110-101 on Monday night for their 15th consecutive victory. That's the longest winning streak in the NBA this season. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the league's reigning most valuable player, led the Bucks with 32 points and 15 rebounds. Milwaukee is tied with the Los Angeles Lakers for the NBA's best record, 21 wins and 3 losses. In Texas, a Serbian forward connected on a last-second shot to lift the Sacramento Kings to a thrilling one-point victory over the host Houston Rockets. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston, Texas.
Nemanja Bjelica drained a 33-footer at the buzzer, giving the Sacramento Kings a 119-118 win over the Houston Rockets. Bjelica's walk-off three followed Russell Westbrook's tie-breaking layup with just 1 second left on the clock in a fourth quarter that saw six ties and six lead changes. Bjelica says he didn't overthink the situation.
I was kind of open. I went deep to, you know, because I feel good, like that range, and you know, I just took a shot and the ball went in.
Buddy Hield led the Kings with 26 points, connecting on 6 3-pointers. Russell Westbrook led all scorers with 34 points on 13 of 17 shooting. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. In African football, defending champion Kenya beat Sudan Tuesday 2-1 at the CECAFA Cup tournament in Kampala, Uganda. Mohamed Namir put the Sudanese in front 1-0 on a goal in the 30th minute. Hassan Abdallah equalized for the Harambee Stars of Kenya in the 65th minute, and Oscar Wamawa got the game-winning goal in the 76th minute. The Kenyans now top Group B with the maximum 6 points from 2 matches. In another Group B result Tuesday, Tanzania beat Zanzibar 1-0 on a 38th-minute goal by Ditram Nchimbi. In Group A results Monday, Eritrea beat Burundi 1-0 on a goal by Rabel Kidani just before halftime, and host Uganda defeated Somalia 2-0 with Alan Okello scoring both goals for the Cranes of Uganda. The Ugandans now top Group B with the maximum 6 points from 2 matches. Uganda's head coach is Jonathan McKinstry. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Coach McKinstry began by talking about his short tenure with the Cranes.
So I first came into the job. I was appointed head coach here at the beginning of October. So I've been here for just a little over 2 months now. And yeah, it's been a very interesting opening couple of months. Obviously, you know, I'm quite used to football in Africa now, having previously coached the Sierra Leone and Rwanda national teams. And so coming to Uganda, you know, is just another sort of step, but it's been very pleasing. The level of talent here is very high, and the level of enthusiasm for improvement is also very high. You know, the players and the staff are all eager to improve and eager to learn, which has made it a very enjoyable sort of first couple of months, both with the senior A national team, but also then with the domestically based players.
Right, Coach. What group are you in the AFCON qualifiers, and what has been the progress so far in your group?
We're in Group B, alongside Burkina Faso, South Sudan, and Malawi. We started with an away game against Burkina Faso, followed by a home game a few days later against Malawi. So we're quite pleased with the beginning we've made. We secured a 0-0 draw away to Burkina Faso in Ouagadougou, which obviously is a very difficult place to go. Burkina Faso have a very good home record. And then we came back to Kampala a few days later and secured a 2-0 home win over Malawi. So after the first two games, we're on 4 points. And yeah, we're quite pleased. We're sitting on top of the group. We know we've got 4 more games to go in the Cup of Nations qualifying. But I think our start has given us a good platform to hopefully push on and secure qualification. But we know next year we've got 2 very important games back-to-back against South Sudan, home and away, which we know won't be an easy task.
What's your assessment of the level of talent in Uganda for those who play locally and those who play for professional teams abroad?
The level of talent for me has been very high so far. And not only the level of talent, the level of competition between the players is also quite significant. The UPL here is a very competitive league. You know, we're currently competing in the SACAFA tournament, which is for East and Central African nations. And trimming the squad down to a 20-man list was a very difficult process, because really any of the final sort of 30, 32 players we selected for training camp could have found themselves not just in the 20-man squad, but maybe even in the starting 11. So the level of competition between players here is very good. And what you're seeing because of that level of competition is more and more players now from Uganda getting the opportunity outside the Ugandan Premier League, whether that's in another African league. You see a lot of our players now in Egypt and Tunisia and Morocco, or a few players are now starting to break through in Europe. So, you know, every year you're seeing 5 or 6 players get the opportunity to go outside to, you know, higher level leagues. And I see that continuing because, like I say, the level of talent is good and the level of competition is fierce between the players.
That's Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of Uganda's national football team. He spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Kampala, Uganda.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, 2019, has been the year of Ghanaians in the diaspora returning to their roots in their West African homeland. The year of return on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
The Voice of America, VOA.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Rwandan government recently signed a 3-year advertising deal with French football giant Paris Saint-Germain. The promotional partnership follows a similar one signed last year with the English football club Arsenal. Eugene Uwimana has more details from Rwanda's capital, Kigali.
Those are PSG stars Neymar and Kylian Mbappe, as well as other players of Paris Saint-Germain. They are acting in a promotional video that explains the Rwanda PSG deal.
This is Rwanda.
The deal will see local fashion and design, Rwandan art and culture, coffee and tea, as well as tourist attractions gain visibility through the club. Rwandan tea and coffee will be sold exclusively at Le Parc des Princes, the home stadium of PSG, with a capacity of close to 48,000. Claire Kamanzi, the chief executive officer of Rwanda Development Board, says the deal will highly benefit Rwanda.
But it's not just a football partnership, it's a lifestyle partnership. And that's PSG's brand. They promote music, they promote culture, they promote, what the young population would like to do, entertainment. And they use their football brand, which is a very strong foundation for that, to really promote what is important for human beings, including the young people particularly, which is, a good, enjoyable lifestyle. And so that is the brand that we want to tap into. We want to be able to, go through the network that PSG has to appeal in the same way that they're appealing.
Relations between Rwanda and France have been rocky since the 1994 genocide perpetrated against the Tutsi. Rwanda has repeatedly accused France of involvement in mass killings that claimed the lives of more than 1 million people. Claire Kamanzi says relations between the countries are now good and they looked at PSG as a football club only.
Rwanda and France have a good relationship. Bilaterally, we are enjoying a good, level of friendliness between our two countries. But the decision to advertise and to partner with the PSG is purely because it's PSG. So it's really, we looked at PSG as a football club, we looked at their values, we looked at their potential.
The Rwandan government has not disclosed the financial details, but the French newspaper Le Figaro says the deal is worth 10 million euros. Paris Saint-Germain is owned by Qatar Sports Investment and it's one of the richest clubs in the world. The Rwanda PSG deal follows one the Kigali government made in May 2018 with Arsenal, a 3-year deal worth £30 million. Under terms of that deal, Arsenal players have been advertising Visit Rwanda on players' sleeves. The Rwandan government says the Arsenal deal has helped lift overall tourism numbers by 8%. The government is confident that football is going to help bring even more visitors to the country. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Eugene Uwimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
Thanks, Eugene. Eugene mentioned Arsenal players advertising Visit Rwanda on their shirts. Gabonese star Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang proudly wore the shirt Monday when the Gunners of Arsenal ended their worst winless run in 42 years. Aubameyang was named Man of the Match as Arsenal came from behind to beat West Ham 3-1 at London Stadium. Aubameyang had one of Arsenal's 3 second-half goals as the Gunners ended a 9-match winless streak. By the way, with his goal on Monday, Aubameyang is now tied with Chelsea's Tammy Abraham for the Premier League scoring lead. They each have 11 goals. In pro boxing, I've been talking with Nnamdi Mwaita about Anthony Joshua reclaiming his world heavyweight title belts in Saudi Arabia. AJ scored a 12-round unanimous decision victory against Andy Ruiz Jr. I asked Nnamdi who AJ is likely to fight in 2020.
Well, he has a mandatory with Alexander Usyk, the WBO cruiserweight champion. Easy fight for Anthony Joshua. That's a mandatory. Then he has another mandatory that IBF with Kubrat Pulev from Bulgaria. It's a good fight, but, you know, with the Anthony Joshua we witnessed Saturday night, he can box, he can punch. He's ready to take in any of these guys, even Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. All he has to do is to go back to the gym and keep working, and then he's the best right among the heavyweights. So the mandatories will happen. We're looking at March against Alexander Usyk, and after that with Pulev, and then we wait and see what happens between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder February 2020.
Namdi, it sounds like AJ wants to stage his next fight in London.
Well, you have to bring it back to London, Sonny. Saudi Arabia gave them all that money. That's fine. But I think they cheated the fan by taking the fight to Saudi Arabia. You got to do Wembley. There's a brand new stadium they're talking about that's going to be open in the UK. He can do 90,000 easily. He doesn't need to come to America. He doesn't need Caesar's Palace, 12,000 people, or Madison Square Garden, 20,000 people. This cat right now, he can do 90,000 like he used to do in the past. With this performance, yeah, take it back to London. Keep it in London for at least 3-4 fights. Stay away from America, man. America is not where it's happened. Go back to Saudi Arabia and grab the cash again, Sonny.
Namdi, AJ had some musical help from Nigeria during his ring entrance. Talk about that.
Go back and look at that entrance at Madison Square Garden June 1. Compare it to the Dunes entrance with the music of the Nigerian legend Fela Anikulapo Kuti, Watano Get Enemy, and then he spiced it up with Femi Kuti, Fight to Win. Right there, you have the Naija swagger, straight up. and he went in, he did his thing, man, you know. So right there, I knew, right, when he walked in with that music, and I said to myself, man, homeboy is ready. Compared to New York City, he's going to do his thing, display his skills, and then that's what he did, and he walked away with his title.
Namdi, December 14th at one of the longtime meccas of boxing in the United States, Madison Square Garden in New York. That's where Ghana's Richard Comey will make the second world title defense, the second defense of his lightweight world title against the Honduran-American Teofimo Lopez. How's this one shaping up, Namdi?
That is a very, very good fight. Richard Comey is the only African boxer on the scene today, making good money, representing the continent. You heard him speak. The cat is ready. The Economist magazine did a story on Bukam. Bukam is this place that have developed all these world-class fighters from DK Eisen, Poison Kote, Azuma Nelson, Richard Comey, and so many people, Ikwate. This small place in Accra called Bukam has produced these fighters. And I don't think Richard Comey is going to go to the Garden and disappoint Africa and disappoint fight fans in Africa. This fight is a fight that will determine who will go against Lomachenko for the pound-for-pound title. This fight is a fight that will put him into that million-dollar range, Sonny, because nobody believes he can beat Teofimo Lopez. And I've always said it, he will even knock out Teofimo Lopez and then knock out Lomachenko. This is the best warrior we have from Africa on the scene. And I expect him to do his thing Saturday night in the Garden. That's why I'm flying all the way from California in the cold, Sonny, to the inside. We don't come out of California, bro. Not to deal with the snow. But I want to be ringside. I'm going to be there, bro.
All right. Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mwaita, who's getting ready to pack his bags for New York to be ringside for Richard Comey versus Teofimo Lopez. Comey will be making the second defense of his IBF lightweight title. Here in Washington, Major League Baseball pitcher Steven Strasburg of the World Series champion Washington Nationals is making headlines for his big new contract. Strasburg re-signed with the Nationals in a 7-year deal worth $245 million. That's the richest ever given to a pitcher, both in total value and average annual value, $35 million a year. Big money for Steven Strasburg. And that wraps up the December 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, 2019 has been the year of Ghanaians in the diaspora returning to their roots in their West African homeland. The year of return on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello Africa, this is James Brottie, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5 and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
This is Science in a Minute.
What quality is most important to you when looking for a long-term partner? A new study led by Swansea University in Wales found the attribute people find most important is kindness. The study authors recruited 3,000 college students from campuses around the world. They gave the students a set budget of so-called mate dollars to purchase amounts of 8 distinct characteristics that would produce their ideal mate. While the students did spend a bit of their budget on good looks or good financial prospects, they spent most of their budget, between 22 and 26%, on kindness. Other attributes they could purchase were humor, chastity, religiosity, the desire for children, and creativity. According to the study, creativity and chastity were considered the least important traits, getting less than 10% of the students' budgets. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sikus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 0905 and 2005 UTC, right after the international news.